The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
We are here for you. We exist for everyone fighting leukemia, lymphoma, myeloma, and other types of blood cancer.
On day 185, LLS helped me file my insurance claims properly.
Day 5,840 and counting, and I'm still in remission.
To learn more and get help on day 1, day 2, day 983, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572. That's LLS.org, 1-800-955-4572.
Listen to the home of the 5K Gruber Cash Giveaway, 101.7 FM, 1510 AM WGKB Waukesha, and W269 DL Milwaukee, a locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Psst, we bought that action.
The place for the realest conversations.
I appreciate United Garden Homes for stopping through with a check for $2,000.
Yes.
Some people came through anonymously.
Yes.
Dropped off money. The family has received those funds. And whatever you can do, if everybody do a little, nobody has to do a lot.
The movement continues.
Did you ever think that you would be in this position right now where your daughter would have some way lose her life?
I didn't want to believe it. All the times I called, sometimes the phone would ring and ring and ring for days. I didn't want to know that she had successfully committed suicide.
What are some of the conditions in the jail that got people upset, like the living conditions on a day-to-day basis?
We'll come out of our cell at 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get food and we'll get medication. So that shortens the time. Out of those 2 hours, we'll probably get an hour out, and then we'll have to lock back down. And by lock back down, I mean we're staying in our cell. We get fed in our cell. We don't come out our cell at all. And that's pretty much the biggest problem. And they simply say that they're short staffed, but that's not enough because they knew that they were going to be short staffed. Like, this has been a problem for over 2 years now.
The marathon continues.
There's never been a better time to make change in the city of Milwaukee, starting with the youth. And we talked about the housing. Willie Hines, y'all boy Willie Hines, and they trying to change the leadership over there. We got our hands full, and it's not the time. But we got attorney B. Ivy Lamar on the lines right now, calling from the courthouse. How you doing, attorney B. Ivy Lamar?
Hey, what's going on, Tori? I'm good, man. Happy to be here.
Joining me on the line, Dr. Umar Johnson. How you doing, brother, Dr. Umar Johnson?
Peace and Pan-Africanism, good brother, Black Power, to all my brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Green Bay, Racine, and across the state of Wisconsin.
Yo, peace, King. I'm going to stand with you and walk with you, brother.
God bless you.
Because I think it's an important thing, what you're doing, and you need to have the support of the community. Regardless if we live in these areas or not, it all affects us in one way or shape or form.
It's time for that action and all the smoke. This is the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning Tori Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on YouTube.
Yam, yam, pam, 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 jam, jam.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, wow.
Man, best show in the world, bro. You got the best show in the world. Hope you know that, man.
God bless you, brother. I appreciate that.
Big up, big up, big up to you both. Thank you so, so, so much. Tori, you spoke to my kids. Liz, you did too. But you spoke to my kids, and when I tell you both that they was talking about what we did earlier that morning all day, that's literally what they was doing. They was talking about it all day.
My son
was just hollering, we're Tori.
Tell Tony, all aboard, it's okay to jump on the love train.
I'm not jumping on the love train.
We might got a couple seats left.
Listen, he ain't going to be – Jordan Love will not be the starter in 5 years.
Trash. That's a trash.
That's just my
take. See, now you're trying to string it out.
I know that ain't who I think it is.
Well, I'll need some apologies from the staff of 101.7.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute. I think the line's messing up. Hey, Eddie. Oh, I guess something happened with
Eddie. Boy.
And they have an agenda. And the agenda is a satanic one. I don't know why people don't talk about it. You can't talk.
Oh, they
Yo, they just empty.
I want to make sure that I let you know that to hear a person and have a person like you in this community, the way that you are selfless, the way that you give, even when your cup is not even full, you are filling other people's cups. And that just inspires me to want to make sure that I help you the best way that I can by doing my part.
As always, my good brother, stay cool, stay calm.
Now, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is the king of talk radio, Tory Lowe.
White people are gonna cry.
Justice Wisconsin, the truth. The most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM. The movement continues. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Milwaukee, stand up, stand up. It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope. Yeah, Tory Lowe, from one to four, Monday through Friday, let's go. We about that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back. We ready, we ready.
101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show, live from American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue, and I'm here for the action.
And I'm but that action.
And I want all the smoke.
Who wants the smoke today?
Salute to all my brothers and sisters on the front lines. The marathon continues.
The movement continues.
How you doing, DJ Brother Z?
It's hump day.
And how y'all doing out there in Radio Land? Truth Nation, thank you for joining us this March 26, 2025. We got another powerful show for you today. So I'm going to need y'all to open up your ears, okay? Hey, joining me in the studio is Marquette Hall of Famer, Tony Smith. How you doing, Tony Smith?
What's happening? I'm good.
Hey, it's a lot going on. We gotta cover a lot.
It is.
But
what's going on?
I made myself a promise that every show this month that I would start out with a little self-care talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and before we get into the action.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of smoke to bring and a lot of action.
All right. But
I do want to make sure that I keep up with, because March is almost over.
Okay.
And I've been including all of these different self-care ideas. Yesterday we talked about growth and development, you know.
Okay.
Adding to yourself, you know, continuously developing. You know what I mean? You had that talk yesterday. But today I want to talk about, and this is a word that I've said many times, but I think we have to break this down because a lot of people, when we talk about it, you know, they have to really understand what it truly is and how it applies to their life. Well, I want to talk about emotional intelligence.
Okay.
And I think that many times people will say, okay, you need to, you know, to develop emotional intelligence. Well, emotional intelligence refers to the ability to recognize and understand emotions in yourself and others, and to use this awareness to guide you through your behaviors. It involves being able to manage your own emotions and respond to the emotions of others in a way that is supportive and constructive.
Yeah, sounds about right. Reading the room.
Right. You know what I mean? Being able to adjust and not be lashing out or not let your first thought control how you respond.
Right.
Because sometimes the first thought be like, get him. You know what I mean?
I jump on defense.
Hey, I'm trying to, hey. Sometimes that's, you know.
You're under attack, you jump on defense.
I get a short trigger. You know, some people got triggers.
A lot of people got short triggers.
Hey.
A lot of them.
But you want to practice emotional intelligence. And, you know, and I'll tell people this, you know, self-awareness is a part of emotional intelligence, the ability to recognize and understand your own emotions and how they impact your behavior. Sometimes people realize that they may have not shouldn't have acted that way
after.
In the aftermath.
Is that still emotional intelligence?
No. That's,
That's so. That's, reactionary. That's got some reflection, though. It's some self-reflection.
It's part of the definition, though, right?
But it's late. It's late.
I mean, you're just missing the first part.
Yeah.
Missing the first part, which is control.
Right.
You're not controlling your emotions.
But you played in the NBA. How much self-control, emotional intelligence, and awareness that you have to go through the different levels? Because a lot of people didn't make it to the NBA that had the skill.
Yeah.
So many times some of the best players may not make it to the league.
Correct.
Due to emotional intelligence they make wrong decisions and they –
Yeah, a lot of different reasons. A lot of different reasons. I was just watching something today about this kid Corbello, who played at Illinois, then he played at St. John's, then he played on the national team, and I think he wound up playing somewhere else. But he was all over the place. A lot of it had to do with what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
which is this guy. He couldn't control his emotions. He was like getting technicals all the time. Getting in altercations. So that's why he kept moving. Every year he was somewhere different. I remember we played him at Marquette. He was at Illinois, and he was a freshman. Touted to be he looked like a really good freshman, good player.
Right.
Next thing you know, he's somewhere else. Then he shows up at St. John's. Technical. This dude, in the first minute of his first game at St. John's, he got a technical. Minute of the first game, he's getting a technical.
Wow.
So that's a case where you're talking about his lack of emotional intelligence really got himself out of a situation where he maybe would have had a shot. Like, if he just controls that, doesn't get in trouble, continues to play at Illinois, he probably gets a shot at the league.
And what I'm saying is a lot of people fall short in this area.
A lot of people. Look at Draymond Green. He's always getting teased.
We call it bonehead. Like, they did a bone. We got a right. name for it.
Knucklehead.
You know, like, especially when it's on a high level and in critical situations, a person doesn't have the intelligence to maneuver through this situation. So we said he made a bonehead mistake.
Right. I'll tell you what, though, like, some people get criticized for it. I mean, I've been criticized before by not showing enough emotion.
Mm.
So instead of letting something make me reactionary immediately, I'm going to process it, calm myself down, and then respond or then deliver whatever I have to deliver.
So you kept the same face the whole time?
Well, I'm just keeping it cool. Like, if you say something, I'm not going to immediately react to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, okay. First of all, I'm going to try to hear what you said. I'm going to listen to it, process it, okay, see how I feel about it, and then come out with a response.
I remember when I was listening to Tupac, and he always was said every move was a calculated step.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, everything he did was calculated. You know what I mean? That's what he was trying to say. And I right. think that it to a certain degree, you have to have that.
Certainly.
You have to add that. You know, as I'm talking about, especially if you're moving in the public and you're moving
correct.
In spaces
yeah.
where your emotions don't win.
Right. If you're in the public eye, right. yeah, you gotta really be careful what you do. We saw what happened to, like, Chris Brown. He let them emotions get out of control mm-hmm. in the car with Rihanna. So, you know, it's just a lot of cases where if you're high profile, it's going to be a problem for you. It just is. You better have control of your emotions. You better have some emotional intelligence to read the situation, and not only yourself, but other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can have some people around, you don't know what's going on with these people. You better be aware and try to figure out, like, what's happening right here.
And I'll tell you this, it helps in choosing friends as well. Like, mm-hmm. is this where I want to go? I always tell people, if you want to know where you're going to end up, get a sheet of paper and write down your top five friends that you talk to the most.
Yep.
And then you can almost predict where you're going to end up.
Right.
If they successful...
You got a good shot.
You got a good shot.
Yeah.
If they...
Knuckleheads, you're in trouble.
Doing things that they ain't supposed to do. You got
three knuckleheads in the crew.
Not practicing growth and development. Not having the emotional intelligence. You can see where you're going to end up. Maurice M. in the chat says, I agree with Tony. Always avoid acting based on emotions, and always think first. And this is where we got to talk to the youth, because I think that we don't have enough of these conversations when they're young. And we assume that somebody's there giving them these gems. And this is why I'm talking about it on the air, so we can bring it up in our families and really have these discussions, because I see a lot of kids acting out, not being able to control themselves, and I'll say this, it's because they're not being told, they're having the conversation of how to manage their feelings and emotions.
Also, they're not being shown.
Not being shown either.
That's
right.
The thing. So, you know, kids are young. They don't make some of the smartest decisions all the time. How are you going to react? Do you just fly off the handle?
Right.
Go crazy? Or do you, like, listen?
They may do what they see the other grown-ups around them.
They hear you talking about something, but they're going to watch what you do. If you're flying off the handle every 5 minutes, whatever you said about it.
You're sending them off to school.
Well, I mean, you just send them mixed signals. Like, you're telling them one thing, be in control, and make sure you think before you react, but they're not thinking before they react.
Well, I'll tell you this, and because we're coming to the end of this month, and I'm telling you, I definitely doubled down on the self-care. You know, I definitely had to really double down. This month I went without no sugar.
Oh, really?
Yep, and it was tough.
The whole month?
No starch.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that. I mean, I went through this whole month. I'm at the end. I ain't out of it yet. I might hit the Third Street Market Hall.
Are you going back? Getting back in it?
I guess I'm going to practice growth and development and see what else I can do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes when I try to go on diets, I always run back to the sugar. Like, my favorite is chocolate chip cookie. So I always fall back into it, because I'll try to say, okay, I can handle a little bit of this, but then it ends up going over the cliff.
Ideally, the theory is, I remember I had a bad sweet tooth years and years ago, and you just got to stay off of it. You don't have to do it for the whole month, but I mean, you're going to be fine. But you really need to do it for, you know, I think like 10 days,
mm-hmm.
two weeks.
Well, I'm beyond that.
Right, you're beyond that.
I'm trying to hit the finish line.
My sweet tooth was gone after that. I did it for like 2 weeks. Sweet tooth was gone. I wasn't craving sweets anymore. And it just has to do with the flora in your stomach.
Right.
So sending signals to your brain. So if you're feeding it sugar all the time, it's going to want sugar, because that's the kind of stuff that you're growing in there. When you grow healthier, better bacteria, that's what it's going to signal to your brain. Like, okay, we need some vegetables. We need some good, healthy stuff. So,
well, I'll say this. We got to practice these things every day. I try to get on the show and talk about some self-care. Today we talked about emotional intelligence. Hopefully you can add it to your life. When we come back, we got a situation with a local alderman that spoke out against the litter in the community. We're going to read some of the statements. Right. We're going to talk about it when we get back. Truth Nation! Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
And that's Tory Lowe, bringing you all the action and all the smoke. It's the Tory Lowe Show on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hey, yo, big bro, you with that?
Ha, okay, cool.
Good job, bro.
That's my brother right there. It is. Dexter. Oh, wait.
Pick it up,
rule.
Baby girl, watch how you move.
What? I got them vests on my 101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. Market Hall of Famer Tony Smith in studio. Look, we got to talk about this situation. Y'all know we got the cleanup coming up April 12th. If y'all want to sign up, go to the Truth Community Cleanup and register. But we have an alderman that's catching a lot of flack about some comments he made about the litter that's in the community. And I can see the frustration. Nobody wants litter. Nobody wants trash all over the community. But as an elected official, many times we got to be careful with the words we use and how we put that out there.
All the time.
To the public. And this situation is something that is making people raise an eyebrow. He made these statements, and I'm going to get asked about it, because I do cleanups. Right. I started out cleaning up.
Yep.
And what stuck out was he was talking about what he sees on the ground, where he says he sees the wigs often mistaken as roadkill, the empty black and mild packaging, the empty fast food bags, Milwaukee's best beer cans, empty Hennessy bottles, chip bags, and everything in between. I've seen dirty diapers being thrown from the windows of moving vehicles. It's a shame and embarrassing. I'll say this, because some of the things he named, they are on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
But as an alderman and your constituents and the people you are to serve and people that look like you, when you single them out, when you talk a certain language, it gives that you don't have a connection to your constituents. Like, you don't understand how to manage and lead by example, to me.
Emotional intelligence, what we're just talking about.
It shows
like, read the room
a little lack of you know, emotional intelligence, right, by the fact that he is an alderman. And I'll tell you this, when I heard this, I seen this, I read this, I understood the frustration.
Right.
But I didn't understand what came out of his mouth to address it. And then he goes on to say he would fine. There is a fine, $500 for littering. And I'm not for taxing the poor. We just had a tax increase.
Right.
We just had property tax increase. And just to throw out the idea that $500 is the resolution or could be a way to resolve this, which is going to be done in our communities, on the north side, in black communities. Mm-hmm. And so you're taxing people with monies that they may not even already have. Right. So to me, it's a teachable moment for both the aldermen and for us as a community, because we do want to clean up. We do want a healthier environment. But you can't be out of touch and say you serve a certain community.
Yeah.
And this is glaring.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to point out what's being thrown out. Bottom line is there's a lot of litter on the ground.
Facts.
Let's figure out how to deter people from doing that. And like you said, what's the good of fining someone $500? I ain't got $500. You're not going to collect it. I mean, I don't even understand the use of that. It's similar to the, you know, giving a bail, and you know they can't pay it anyway. I mean, what does it matter? Like, what are you doing to the poor? Like, it's not a solution. Right.
That's not a solution. Maybe he should join the cleanup, the Tory Low Community cleanup, and be an example of how to get it done. Like, I could go up to somebody and say, hey, don't throw that on the ground because I clean up. I can tell them that because they know I clean up. So I'm more effective that way. Mm-hmm. But if I'm preaching from a distance, they don't have to listen to me. And that shows that there's not a communication or a connection with how he feels with the constituents he's trying to reach.
Right. Easily say, like, what do you care? You don't live here and you don't clean up. What do you care?
And a lot of people just, you know, when it comes to the black community, and I'll tell you this, a lot of y'all, every time we talk about things that are serious in our community, y'all always want to talk down to the black community. But y'all go sniggle and giggle in other communities. You know what I mean? And it's a group out here that's just not going to take it. You know, it's a way to set an example, to show, lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
And let your example of you being the example that you want to see take over. And many times, a lot of folks ain't going to do nothing. So they got a lot of hot breath, a lot of hot air, but they don't have a lot of action. And to me, this is a situation where he could have actually said, okay, you know what? I see litter on the ground. I'm going to throw a press conference. I'm going to have a community cleanup, and I'm going to give out the right message. Hey, look, everybody, even if you don't make it to the cleanup, we're going to urge you to clean your own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's an alderman. He would have got all four cameras. He would have covered a lot of ground on that. That would have been the right message, and he don't have to be backtracking and acting out of emotion instead of using the emotional intelligence. And that's what we started the show we were talking about today.
Yeah, again, but you know, again, everybody doesn't have it. He would probably agree. But again, it's like you're not exercising the emotional intelligence. Now you're trying to talk about it after the fact.
But he's an alderman.
Which is even worse. Like, if you're in that position, you got that many ears and eyes on you, that should be part of the job. I mean, you should have some kind of some training in emotional intelligence and being able to, you know, I mean, we see a lot of it in politics. People say stuff emotionally, and all of a sudden now it's a big deal, and now they got to walk it back, and they got to, you know, try to justify what they said. I mean,
well, just
don't say it.
He called into Kyle's show, Kyle Truth to Power, I guess. Okay. I don't know if we got any audio from it. Maybe
I can play it after break.
Yeah, he apologized. I guess he called into the show.
Okay.
To Kyle Wallace show, and he was saying, "Hey, look, he made him. You know, I don't know what he said. I guess we got the audio.
Right.
But like I said, as an alderman, you know, you got to make sure that you understand who you're speaking to and how to address it.
Hey, like you said, emotional intelligence. It's a thing.
Well, look, I appreciate you.
Everybody
T. Smith.
Ain't got it.
Hey, today we're going to skip the pop culture report. We got breaking news. We got attorney B.I.V. Lamar in studio. He was down at the federal building. Him and his client is in the studio. We got breaking news. We're going to get to it when we get back. Truth Nation, stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Double up. Three or four times, I ain't telling no lies. I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies. I just, yeah. I ain't telling no lies, I just
1017 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got breaking news. We got attorney B.I.V. Lamar in studio, fresh from a press conference to announce filing of a lawsuit against Racine Police Department following inhumane transport of hospitalized detainee. How you doing, B.I.V. Lamar?
Man, I'm good. Sorry, man. I'm happy to be here.
Hey. Once again, another situation where the police is being challenged on their behavior. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, you know, Tori, this one is different. You know, this is one of the most inhumane cases that I've represented. It brings us back to last year, July 14th, to be exact. You know, it's kind of hard to imagine now because it's still cold here, but, you know, it's a hot day. You know, it's scorching. It's over 90 degrees. And Mr. Locke was in the custody of the Racine County Police, the Racine Police Department, while he was being hospitalized at Frederick Hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He ultimately, you know, he suffered an accident. He was in an accident. He suffered very severe injuries, lacerations, broken bones, organ damage. I mean, the list goes on. So he was in a very fragile state at that very moment. He's now got to a point where the doctors determined that, hey, he's cleared to go to the actual jail. They discharged him. We have video at this very moment. You see Adam, you know, hey, you know, you got to go to jail. You got to go. He's right. Very mannerable. He's respectful. They're putting him into the paddy wagon. He's scooting himself into the paddy wagon.
Right.
One of the first things that I noticed when watching the video is that they did not order a private ambulance. Generally, if somebody is still under medical care, they should be transported via private ambulance. That right. didn't happen. Instead, they had them scoot onto the floor of the paddy wagon. Now, that's not the most alarming thing here. The biggest issue here is that it was an unsafe vehicle with no ventilation and no working AC. Now, again, this is a 90 plus degree day, and he's in a very small compartment inside this paddy wagon, which is also depicted on the video. And he informs the officer right away. He says, hey, you know, it's hot in here. You know, it's very hot. She said, okay, I'll turn the AC on, you know, as soon as we get going. She didn't do that, you know. And as a result of that, he suffered in these conditions for not a minute or 2 minutes, you know, long periods of time. He's banging on the door saying, I can't breathe. He doesn't tell them this once or twice. He literally says it throughout the video, probably about at least 8-9 times. I can't breathe, you know, it's, you know, and he starts peeling off parts of his clothing. Now, at this time, he only had a nightgown on. He's still in a medical gown that they provided. And he's now kind of peeling that apart. As you can see how hot he is. You can see him sweating.
Right.
At some point.
It's video.
It's video of this. And at some point.
Zach, I send you the file over in your email, if we can get that up.
Yeah. So at some point, you know, he pleads for help. He tells her, I can't breathe. She finally stops the vehicle on a highway. And after stopping on the highway, ultimately, you know, he tells her, I can't breathe. He articulates that. She understands it. And she decides to keep going. She closes the door back up, knowing that there's no ventilation. At this point, there's no dispute whatsoever that the AC is not working. And she decides, I'm going to keep him going on in this vehicle. She doesn't call for medical. She doesn't do any of these things. So now this is round two of this transport. And they determine that let's get into a private area because at this point, we don't want the public to see this. They even talk about a lawsuit on the video. They understood that what they were doing was likely to result in claims being made based off of their conduct. But even withstanding that, they continued on and they bring him to an apartment complex in West Dallas on the side of the road. And they left him on the side of the road for almost 3 hours on the back of a paddy wagon, still complaining that, you know, he's dehydrated at this point. He has heat exhaustion. He also tells them he's having problems breathing. He has chest pain, all of these things.
But there's a law that says you have to, if somebody asks for medical help, they have to.
Absolutely.
Act on that.
Absolutely. If you take the control of a person and you're in their custody and that person has obviously a serious medical condition, it was very known that he had all these issues.
Right.
You brought him to the paddy wagon. He didn't walk there. You wheeled him out in a wheelchair there. You know that he has these issues. And despite that, they essentially, we believe, were indifferent to his medical needs and allowed him to suffer. The video is shocking. I mean, my office, we probably get about 40, 50, 60 calls a week on civil rights cases. And unfortunately, we're not able to take them all. But Mr. Locke, when he told me that everything was on video, I sat there and watched it. 3 hours worth.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. You know, sometimes people exaggerate things.
Right.
And that's what I thought. It shocked the conscience when I watched this video. I'm literally seeing medical personnel finally get there. And they're saying we need to take him to the hospital. The Racine County Police Department says, no, what we need is for him to go to the jail. That's what we need. So they're, you know, essentially exerting their authority over the medical personnel who wanted to take him to the hospital. Wow. So this is a case that can't be ignored. This is a case that shocks the conscience.
Well,
this is inhumane.
If y'all watching as we broadcast live on YouTube and social media, we have the video of what took place with Adam Locke. He's, and I must warn you, this is, you know, aggressive, very aggressive. But if you want to see it as we broadcast live, it's on YouTube. Why do you feel that they mistreated him and ignored his rights, B. Ivy Lamar?
Well, first of
all, from looking at the video,
there are biases that exist in people generally. And it also is no exception to the police department and those officers. These officers simply thought, oh, well, he was being hospitalized. You know, you got nurses coming in. Oh, he just doesn't want to go to jail. That's what these young officers assumed. And that is the reality of why I think they were just indifferent. But, you know, again, I could speculate all day. But what we do know, and again, this is not he said, she said. You know, men lie, women lie. Video does not. And we have 3 hours worth. Mm. And I just couldn't believe what I saw. I cannot believe what their reactions and their responses were. But this, what we believe, and when we filed this civil rights lawsuit this morning, we believe this was a deliberate indifference to a serious medical need. We believe that Monell liability exists, that there was problems in the training, the protocols, in transporting individuals. We also believe that they were negligent. I mean, we believe this is outrageous behavior.
Why do we have to address, because many times a lot of people say, okay, another civil lawsuit. No. Why do we have to make sure that we have checks and balances when it comes to being being in police custody. This is just a huge thing that goes on all the time. A lot of people feel that they've been mishandled, but then you got a situation where Mr. Locke is at one point with no clothes on.
Right.
And they're just, they have him out there sitting there, not paying attention or not listening to his call or his needs. He's in the wagon, sweating, asking for help. Why did they let it go so long? And why is it important that we address these situations when it comes to inhumane treatment?
Well, I think that what we typically see and what I often see in civil rights cases is we normally see excessive force. We normally see a police shooting that we believe is unjustified. We normally see an assault of some sort, kicking, punching, whatever. This case is different. It still is under the guise of civil rights. It still is a constitutional right to have medical treatment and so forth. So this one is different. You see Mr. Locke suffering. I've never seen, I mean, you see a grown man crying for help. You know, at some point you see in the video, he loses consciousness in the video. So, yeah, I mean, this is not like a George Floyd situation where you got his feet on his, you know, his foot on his neck,
right,
where you were depriving him of oxygen in that way.
Right.
But you're still, through your indifference, denying him of medical treatment, which could have cost him his life.
Mm.
We can't let that go unchecked.
And we've seen incidents before in the past.
Absolutely.
Where people have screamed for help for medical and then they were ignored and then they passed away on the scene. It's, you know, thank God he's alive right now.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here. And that's what this lawsuit is so important for. As we, it's still cold outside now, but as we're going into spring and soon we'll be in a summer with scorching temperatures, I think it's important that we now show that this case is important because we got to address biases that exist in the police departments. You can't have another Adam Locke because he might not make it. Thankfully, Mr. Locke was finally, after 3 hours, able to get into medical attention. Mm-hmm. Even though he had to stay hospitalized for 5 days, they were able revive him and get him to the place he's at today, which he's still not out the woods now. He still has psych therapy that he goes through. He's still on psych meds. He still has all these aggravations to his existing issues. Even the pending court case, the judge determined that his medical condition was as such that he was not in, it was not, it would not be proper for him to be under the custody of the Racine County Jail based off his existing medical condition today.
So they had the history.
Absolutely.
So they ignored the history.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's the snapshot. Wow. You know, Tori, I gotta run. I got a court appearance I gotta make here in a second.
Okay.
But I again thank you for covering this. You know, Adam Locke is here, the family is here to complete this conversation. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And as always, you know, I'm here. You know, if you need me, you know, this is a case that is very important for justice, for the movement, for the culture. And, hey, it just shows that we got more work to do.
Well, look, I appreciate you for coming through with this breaking news press conference today. Civil rights lawsuit against Racine police. Adam Locke is here with his family. When we come back, we'll have a conversation with Mr. Locke. Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
More of the Tory Lowe Show is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Pull up in motor case. I got a show today. 101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show, DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We got breaking news. Lawsuit filed against Racine Police Department following inhumane transport of hospitalized detainee. We got Adam Locke in studio. Lawsuit filed today, press conference today. If y'all watching as we broadcast live, we got the video. We got the video of what took place. If y'all want to watch, I must warn you, it's tough. It's tough to watch. But this is what happened. It's all on video. It's all there.
It's all there.
How you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. Just, you know, hanging in there, trying to stay strong. You know,
The lawsuit says that that the officers knowingly subjected you to pain and hurt, and when you say you was in the back and you was sweating, how hot did it get? What was going on? Well, when they put you in the back of the vehicle,
when they placed me in the back of the paddy wagon, it was one of the hottest days of the summer. And the paddy wagon was out there for a few hours before they even placed me, you know, into that. So the temperature had rose. As soon as they placed me on the floor of the paddy wagon, I instantly, you know, questioned the heat. Was it right. Air conditioned? It's so hot back here. Can you turn the air on or something? And she was like, as soon as we get going, I could turn the air on. But that never happened.
Was it even air?
The air condition didn't work in the unit.
How hot do you think it got back there?
Over 100 degrees, maybe about 120 something degrees.
Oh wow. And when you reached to knock on the walls to say, "Hey, look, I need help." What was the reaction?
Well, I'm trying to get the air condition going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she kept going. So at some point, I lost consciousness back there in the back of the paddy wagon. And when I came to, I continued to beat on the back of the paddy wagon, screaming and telling her that I couldn't breathe and I wasn't going to make it. I really thought that if I would have kept on into that ride, maybe five more minutes or so, I probably would have passed away.
Now, you on this video, you don't have no clothes on.
Oh, yeah. It was times out there where I was completely nude.
Oh, wow. And they didn't hurry up and had no sense of urgency. How long were you out there total?
About.
Without any medical attention?
About 3 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah, about 3 hours. The West Dallas Fire Department had came, paramedics, and the police was out there, and they was telling them, like, they wanted to give me fentanyl because my medical condition. Medical fentanyl because medical condition was so bad and was deteriorating, but the police wouldn't let them give me any medical attention. They was like, we want to get him to the jail.
Hold on. You got a history.
Yeah.
And they can see many times when you have a history, they can see it in the computer.
Absolutely.
So did they even check to see the history and to see the legitimacy?
Well, one of the officers that was present was there overnight with me and had already previously been at the hospital and seen me going through the medical transitions with surgeries and medications. Mm-hmm. That, but so he was actually there. So he was aware of a lot of different things. They just showed a complete, totally disregard. Their whole objective was to get me to the jail.
Oh, and not have the medical interfere.
Right, because the police department, the police officers that was out there told medical they couldn't take me.
What?
Yes.
They told the medical they couldn't.
They said, we want to get him to the jail. And it's all recorded. All of this is on video.
They say it's 3 hours of video.
Yes.
We plan some of the video as we broadcast live on YouTube and social media. But this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
Yes.
This is unbelievable. This treatment that they knowingly, they had the information there. They wasn't even trying to hear what you were saying.
Not at all.
Is there at any point did you feel like you were going to die?
Yes. It actually, on a video, you could hear me say, you know, am I going to die? Because I had one of my lungs had collapsed. I had five broken ribs. I had a laceration grade 4 to my spleen, to my kidney. I had liver damage.
And this was the condition you was in?
Yes.
They was transported?
Yes. I had maybe 22 stitches in my knee, a rod. I have rods and staples. I have rods and stuff in my groin area.
Oh,
I had like 60 staples going up my back, buttock, a broke arm. I had like 12 stitches in my arm plus a rod that was in my arm. So I had all of this stuff going on, and I was 5 days off of the surgery table.
And they had you out there suffering.
And they had me out there naked. Like that.
Oh, wow. Well, you're in good hands with Attorney B. Ivy Lamar, once again, one of our natives here in Milwaukee who fights for human and civil rights, for those that are that can't speak for themselves, it seems like they didn't even treat you like you was even a human. Like you were not human to them.
Oh, yeah. And you could see it on a video. For those who are watching the video, you could see the total disregard. You could see my conditions deteriorating. You could see snot coming out my nose. You could see me sweating profusely. You could see the sweat dripping from my face. If I would have stayed out there a little longer, I would have passed away. When I was rushed back to the hospital, I stayed for 5 more days. They were giving me IVs. I had a heat stroke, all type of internal damages. All of my injuries were exacerbated. Both of my feet were swelled up. It felt like I had a pillow inside of my chest.
Mr. Locke, anything that you want the community to know right now?
Yes, absolutely. I think that everybody have to come together to stop these type of events from happening. People have to be accountable for the things that they do and don't do. This could have easily been avoided. I could have easily been transported in an ambulance from the hospital to the jail. These officers and the people responsible, they have to be accountable. These type of inhumane conditions and treatments are not only unconstitutional, but they are completely unacceptable.
Well, look, you got our prayers for speedy recovery.
Thank you.
And thank God that you're still alive, amen. Mr. Locke, you know, because this could have ended in the worst way.
Oh, yes.
Well, look, we're going to follow your case and the developments. Once again, there was a press conference today. Attorney B.I.V. Lamar files a lawsuit against Racine Police Department following inhumane transport hospitalization of Mr. Locke. Mr. Locke, I thank y'all for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having
me. And this won't be the last time, because I know we got other things that are going to happen. This is a journey.
Absolutely.
And you have our support right here at Truth Nation. We thank you for coming in and telling your story.
And thank you so much, brother, for having me.
Wow, Truth Nation. I'll tell you this. When we hear things like this today, it's Mr. Locke. Tomorrow is you. This is why we got to stand up. This is why we got to fight. This is why we can't take these things lightly. And we won't.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Love.